And you are listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on Your Public Radio. I'm Nathan Sterner. Lots of people manage to fall asleep at a reasonable hour each night, but some have trouble getting to sleep and end up staying awake for a long time. Now, scientists at Johns Hopkins have figured out one reason why. They've discovered a gene that affects how the biological clock sets the timing for sleep. They found that a mutation in the gene affected whether fruit flies could fall asleep, and they know that the same gene does exist in humans. The study was just published in the journal Neuron. It was led by Mark Wu, a professor of neurology and genetic medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and he joins me now in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
First, some background. This all has to do with our circadian clocks. Tell us what those are.
Right. So it turns out that all of us have these biological clocks in our bodies that help us synchronize our bodily functions to the day-night cycle.
It's ticking away, telling us when to be awake, when to sleep?
Exactly. So all kinds of behaviors. For example, we know that sleep is under so-called circadian control. That's why when, for example, if you travel to Japan, you know, you want to go to sleep at the wrong time, basically, because your internal biological clock is telling you it's one time, but the outside environment's telling you it's another time.
And it takes a while for the real clock and the internal clock to sync up.
That's exactly right. On average, it takes the human body clock about 1 hour per day to shift.
And sleep is important. It's something that all animals do, from us on down to fruit flies.
That's exactly right. So sleep is conserved all throughout the animal kingdom. And it appears to play important roles for human health. For example, anything from metabolism. If you don't get enough sleep, it turns out that your body can actually function like a diabetic person's body. It also plays important roles for learning and memory. And also, we think that sleep is important for wiring of the brain.
How's that?
So, for example, baby animals in all species sleep a lot. And studies in baby animals have shown that if you don't let these animals sleep, that wiring of the brain does not occur properly.
Now, we're going to go from animals to fruit flies specifically. They're what you studied in your lab. You realized that some of the fruit flies you were examining were not sleeping?
That's exactly right. So it turns out fruit flies are an amazing model organism to study all kinds of biological problems. In fact, most human disease genes are actually conserved in flies. So what we have been doing, and this was led by a talented postdoc, Sha Lu, what we did was made thousands and thousands of mutations in different kinds of fly mutant strains.
So you were breeding all sorts of flies just
exactly.
To figure out what might happen.
Exactly. Thousands of them. And then we would basically look at the sleeping pattern of all of these mutant strains. And what we found was one strain in particular that we named Wide Awake that had problems falling asleep. And these look like insomnia patients that I see in clinic that have what we call sleep onset insomnia.
Sleep onset insomnia, they do sleep eventually, they just can't get to sleep.
Exactly. So when I see patients in clinic with insomnia, they usually fall into three categories. Those that have problems falling asleep, that we call sleep onset insomnia. Those that have problems staying asleep, sleep maintenance insomnia. Or those that just have poor quality sleep. So these flies looked like patients that have sleep onset insomnia. And when that occurs, often, it's because of a dysregulation between the circadian clock and sleep.
And there was a specific gene that the flies that had this sleep onset insomnia had.
Exactly right. So we found this gene called Wide Awake. And what this gene actually does, so to take one step back, we know that sleep is regulated by the circadian clock. But how this occurs, nobody knew. So what we did was identify the gene that acts as a messenger between the circadian clock and sleep. It acts to translate the timing information from the clock to then basically silence arousal circuits in their brains to allow the flies to fall asleep.
And this is done by some sort of protein?
Exactly. So the gene Wide Awake encodes for a protein, and this protein, the levels of this protein cycle throughout the day, and it actually acts on a signaling mechanism called GABA signaling. And GABA signaling is important because it turns out that most of our sleep drugs that work to put people to sleep actually work on GABA.
So the mechanism inside flies that determines when they go to sleep is the same one we have, we think. We've got the same gene, probably the same proteins involved?
Exactly. In mammals, including humans, there's a single copy of this gene. It's conserved, and it's enriched in a part of the brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is actually the part of the brain that encodes the master biological clock.
So what could we do to encourage people to fall asleep knowing what we do now?
So this novel discovery may one day pave the way for discovering drugs or pharmacological mechanisms that may allow us to manipulate the relationship between the circadian clock and sleep. For example, for There are 15 million people in America that work alternate shift schedules right now.
Like doctors, police officers.
Doctors and people on the radio, for instance. So, and potentially this could lead to novel drugs that may manipulate this pathway. But I think in terms of things that we can tell people right now what to do to help them fall asleep, the biggest thing that I think that people don't think about is light. So we know that light has powerful effects on arousing the brain, and it also acts to change the phase of your circadian clock. In modern society, we are exposed to light all the time because of our electrical lighting, and especially what people have been doing is with iPads and computers, they're looking at them all the time during the night. And what that serves to do is actually wake up your brain and actually shift your clock. So actually, a number of years ago, I was camping in New Zealand, and when I was doing that, I noticed that it was really easy for me to fall asleep and wake up with a natural daylight cycle. I was waking up at 6 in the morning and feeling fully refreshed. And actually, this has actually been studied. So people have actually compared, if you take circadian rhythms of people that are camping versus their normal sort of daily lives where they're exposed to all the light and everything like that, artificial lighting, that's when you are exposed to all this artificial lighting and the things that we sort of do every day, keeping our lights on, looking at computers, that your circadian rhythms are significantly delayed. And so this, that alone, if people could basically reduce the light exposure they get at night and try, and I know this is hard, but try to not look at your computers, your iPads, your iPhones so much at night, this would really help people to be able to fall asleep better.
So that's a step we can take right now without right now. Any investigation further into this. Do we have any idea of what we could do once we know more about this mechanism? Could we get the people that are on interesting job shift schedules to shift their circadian rhythms to fit those schedules?
That would be the goal, because this molecule, to our knowledge, is the only molecule that's ever been identified to specifically act downstream of the circadian clock to regulate sleep. So if we can find a way to manipulate this pathway, we might be able to alter sleep-wake patterns of people on alternate cycles.
Now, as someone who has a non-standard work schedule myself, I have a different sleep strategy. I do it in shifts, 2 hours or three in the afternoon, four or five at night. Is that a good idea?
So what we tell people that have an alternate that have to work alternate shift schedules that yes, that try to get to sleep when you can, basically. So that, in other words, we do recommend napping.
Get it when you can.
Get it when you can.
Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Mark Wu is a professor of neurology and genetic medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and the leader of a newly published study on sleep. There's more online at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Nathan Sterner. Up next, when a self-help book is a novel, and vice versa. Stay tuned. Well, you're never gonna get it. Early sleep, tell me what's up.